Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church. I'm so glad to see you all out this morning. If you're visiting, so glad to have you. Thank you for coming today. Let's start with our first song out of the church hymnal. If you'd like to stand, 120. 120. Seated, please. Beautiful singing this morning. I'm so glad to see the good number in the choir. Give God the glory for that this morning, folks. Turn to page 88. Page 88 for our next song. Page 88.
Thank you. If there's ever been a prettier day around here, I don't recall ever seeing it. What a beautiful Sunday. I'm glad my PA is working here. I should have done a sound check, but hopefully all can hear me. Good to see each one of you. And those of you that are visiting, we can't thank you enough for coming to be with us. It's good to see new faces, good to see familiar faces. But if you're here, let's adore and worship the Lord our God. You're probably wondering how such a good-looking guy replaced our pastor who is home recovering. And I say that for his benefit. He may or may not be listening, but he has had surgery, Brother Ricky has. And like a lot of us, he's getting old, and he decided to have his other knee replaced. He didn't get enough of pain and punishment with the first one, so he decided to do it again, Brother Stewart. So anyway, we'll wish him a speedy recovery. It's good to see each one of you here, and hope you've had a good week, and we hope you're looking forward to today's service, and I certainly am. We'll have Brother Trey Yates will be bringing the sermon for us in a little bit, and so we will look forward to giving him leave to speak in a little while. But the next order of business is we normally have a small moment of time that we will do for the children's sermon, and we will call all the children that want to participate will be on this side of the podium. So y'all wake up and come on. Come on. Hi, Stevie. How is everybody? Well, it looks like our crowd's a little off here. Well, hopefully they'll be back. Maybe they're just out. Hope there's nothing bad wrong, but hopefully we'll see them again soon. Everybody had a good week? I'll ask again. Everybody had a good week? Yes. School has started back, and we are back in the throes of having to put on our learning ears and do our listening and other stuff. And are all of you in the same class that you had last year, and I mean with the same folks that you were with? You got a whole new set of people you're with, right? Is that right? So you have the opportunity to make new friends. Is that right? Yeah? Okay. All right. Somebody's in school in the back of the house. I got a witness over there. So name the name of a new friend that you have. Do you remember their name? Mitchell? I'm sorry? T-Ray. All right. What about you? You got a new friend? Carla? Tala. Very good. What about you, Ben? Liam? Good. Anybody else? Good. Do you think the Bible talks about friends? I believe it does, don't it? You remember last week? What did we talk about last week? Did I make an impression on you? Do you remember what we talked about? It's a test. The Bible tells us to love our enemies. You remember, don't you? And just a quick about that, and I may have failed to mention that. We're to love them, but if they do stuff that's wrong, let's don't partake in that, okay? Even God loves their soul, but he doesn't like evil, okay? So if our enemies are partaking in evil, even though we need to love them and pray for them, let's make sure not to make those mistakes. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. For extra credit, who wrote Proverbs? No, it's not Thomas Nelson, the publisher of this book. It was Solomon, a wise man. He said, a man or a woman that hath friends must show himself friendly. Okay? So if we want a lot of friends, what do we have to be in turn? A friend, that's right. We got to show ourselves friendly. We got to be nice. We got to open doors. We got to say thank you, please, may I, no sir, no ma'am, yes sir, yes ma'am. To be a friend, to show that we care, to show that we have their best interest at heart, okay? And in a lot of ways, we got to do that to our enemies as well, but this is friendly. Let's be friends, okay? Let's don't make enemies the second week of school, okay? Let's don't do that. Let's don't do that. You got that, Ezra? Thumbs up. Okay, I like it. He's in tune, y'all. So we have to show ourselves friendly. Maybe just one time? Some of the time? When? All of the time. Show yourself friendly. And we have to do that. Because, listen to this. This is the last part of the verse. And I like this. There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Who do you think that he may have been talking about? God, our Lord. That's right. He loved you so much. He loved you so much. He loved you so much that he did what for us? He died. Greater love hath no friend, hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Hopefully it won't come down to you having to give your life to save somebody's life. But we need to have that attitude that we might be willing to. And that's what the Lord did. Okay? Let's stand up and we'll dismiss you to your class till next week. Say this after me. Say it loud. Say them like you want Nick to hear it out in the hall. Okay? I assume he's out there. A man that hath friends. All right. Let's use our diaphragm from the bottom right here, just like we wanted to hear, like we were hollering at mom from our bedroom, okay? A man that hath friends.
A man that hath friends.
Must show himself friendly.
Thank
you. I love you all. See you next Sunday. All right. All right. Thank y'all for your patience and all that. They teach me some things from time to time. Good to see everybody here. One of the things that we always want to do is to have prayer. It's necessary, it's needful, and it's fitting. For one, it helps us to get in touch with the Lord, kind of set the tone for the next part of the service. Let our wishes be known. Let our thanks be known. Is there any prayer requests on the heart of anyone at this time before that we do pray? Oh. Miss Doris, okay. So, thank you, Brother Trey, for making that known, that apparently just this is a real-time request that Miss Paula's somebody in her family has had stroke-like conditions and is on her way, to Skyline. That's where the neurological hospital is. Okay, let's remember this. Anything else? I think I heard him first. I'll get to you. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I wish the church would pray for our son, Matthew, who had a very near stroke.
Oh. All right. Thank you. Remember Brother Barnett's son, son Matthew. Yes, sir.
I'd like you to have a prayer for Linda. She's having some serious problems with one of her eyes. She got some, what do you call it, board? Okay, what's the name of it?
It's like 20 questions. I don't know.
Yes.
They don't have to write a prayer request, but they have to write something they're thankful for. But today there was a request that we remember Sarah's eyes. And so we do want to remember Sarah. I think she had a procedure this week. So.
Very good. Thank you. Appreciate you making that known. So we'll pray to that end that there'll be a good outcome in that regard. Sheetrock. Drywall. There you go. Eventually it'll come around, won't it? It's good that we make all these petitions known, the prayer requests, so that we are to bear each other's burdens. We are to share in the burdens and to make our petition known to God. Let's remember that. Remember the indigent of the church that can't be with us, the various families. Brother Hackett, Brother Trey, as we said, the lost. If you're here today and lost, what a great day to be saved. What a great day to be saved. Anything else? Okay. Lord help. Remember that situation. Yes, ma'am. Okay? All right? We'll pray that God bless your heart. Anything else? If not, I would ask that you bow with us while we pray. Brother Slick, would you lead our prayer, please?
As we continue worship today, the thought has been on my mind of the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So let's sing 277. 277. Amen. We'll do one more song this morning. Choir, won't you stand and help us on this last song? 162. 162. You haven't sang this one in a while. Living by Faith.
That's Sister Janice. That was beautiful. I always enjoy hearing her play. We're very blessed to have her here with us. And we're very blessed to have all of you here with us. I'm happy to be here in the Lord's church with his family. Happy to be a part of that family. I had weeks to prepare for this. And I thought I had what I wanted to say all together. And then this Friday night, the Lord gave it all to me at once. And it's not something that I've rehearsed. So bear with me. It looks like it's going to be a message that may step on a few toes, including mine. It's a solemn one, but I think it's one that the Lord once heard this morning. Turn with me, if you will, to 3 Corinthians. There is no 3 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. We're going to be in the 13th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Very last chapter of 2 Corinthians. I'm going to start with verses 1 through 5 and see where we go from there. Paul is writing to the Corinthians here. This is the third time I'm coming to you. See, I knew there was a 3 Corinthians. This is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before, and I foretell you, as if I were present the second time. And being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. Seek ye a proof of Christ. Seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? So in verse 1, here Paul reminds them that this is the third time that he will visit them. And that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. Now, this is just a rule of Old Testament law, that you need two or three witnesses for a charge against someone to be valid. But I noticed that he says these two things back to back, so it could be that in his own way, he's referencing his third visit to the third witness. In other words, let every matter be established that I've talked to you about before already by my third visit, and in terms of their own unrepentant sin. He says, I told you before, and I foretell you, as if I were present the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. Paul says, I've told you before, and here I am telling you again, if I get there and the things that we've talked about before, your sin, you haven't repented from and it's still going on, there's going to be consequences. Now, there are times as a parent where our children may be misbehaving and we give them sort of a verbal warning to the consequences of their misbehavior. And I remember when I was a kid, it seemed to have more of an effect, be more effective if my mom didn't really specify what she was going to do. She would just say, don't make me come in there, or don't make me tell you again. She wouldn't say, you know, you'll get a whooping or you'll be grounded. And it seemed to work better that way. And maybe that's what Paul is doing here, because he doesn't really specify what he'll do. He'd just say, I won't spare you. And there's a time for repentance and grace. And there's also comes a time that we don't like where it's time for disciplinary action if we haven't repented. He says, since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. The Corinthians were very proud of their intellect, their academic and linguistic skills. But they made a misuse of their self-proclaimed wisdom, even so far as to judge the Apostle Paul and question his apostleship. So Paul wrote two letters to the Corinthians, and in both letters he finds himself scolding them for their sin and at the same time having to defend himself. And this time, instead of directly defending himself and his faith, his valid salvation and apostleship, he kind of holds up a mirror to the Corinthians and says, "You want proof of Christ in me? Look at yourselves. Is your faith true? Because if yours is, then mine has to be." See, the Corinthians had many teachers, but they didn't have many fathers. In 1 Corinthians, we learn that Paul was their spiritual father. He brought the church there. So if his apostleship was false, then their faith had to be false. But if their faith was true, then his apostleship was true. So he says, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith." Examine yourselves. Notice it says, "If ye be in the faith," and not of the faith. Think back to the ark. When Noah and his sons were building the ark, now he told everyone, "Look, this is your way to salvation. You're doomed if you don't trust in this ark." I imagine there were people standing around watching him build it. Maybe even some helped him build it. Who knows, for some extra money or food or whatever. And say they watched him build the whole thing, scoffing him while he did it. You think maybe there were people standing around, nudging each other, saying, "What's that made of? That's gopher wood. You don't recognize that? That's gopher wood. You can smell it." No. "Well, you think it'll float? Of course it'll float. It's gopher wood. Wood floats, you know. Doesn't matter how big it is, it'll float." So, you know, they may have known every speck. They may have known the whole blueprint of the ark and known everything about it. They may have calculated how much it weighed, you know, how much water it would take before it actually started to lift off. But none of that mattered when the rains came, because they weren't in the ark. They never repented of their unbelief that this was their only way to salvation. And so they were doomed. And here they are criticizing Paul and his apostleship. Now, are we ever guilty of this? How many times do we leave church and say, "What do you think of the service?" "That was all right." "Well, what do you think of the sermon?" "I've heard better." "Singing was okay, you know, it was church." Let me ask you something. Do we come to church to judge each other or to serve each other? Do we come here to judge God's word or to let God's word judge us? Don't get me wrong. I don't shy away from criticism. In fact, I welcome it. It helps me grow. And I don't need your accolades. But should we really be asking what we thought of the sermon? I got a better one for you. Instead, ask yourselves when you leave here today, ask yourselves inwardly, what was God trying to tell me in there? How is what was said, how does that speak to my personal condition? See, we as humans are terrible judges of ourselves. So it's important that if we're going to examine ourselves, like Paul says, that we tread carefully in the Word of God. We need to tread carefully as we yield ourselves to its instruction on how it is that we should examine ourselves. And while doing this, I think it's imperative that we avoid doing three things. Number one, I think we need to avoid judging ourselves based on our own standards. Number two, I think we need to avoid judging ourselves or based on others' standards or the world's standards for us. And number three, I think we need to avoid comparing ourselves to others as a way of examining ourselves, because all of us have fallen short, and ultimately all of these ways fall short of God's standards, which is perfection, which none of us will reach, only Jesus has, but we can through him. So with the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we're going to take a look at the criteria of how we should examine the validity of our faith. First, I have a little confession to make. I have a little guilty pleasure. Sometimes I find myself indulging as I get wrapped up in watching real-life criminal interrogations. And it's not because I relish in the crimes committed or even the justice that the interrogation eventually brings with sentencing. But it's more of I'm intrigued and frankly impressed by the tactics that the interrogators will use to trip up the suspect. They'll gather as much information as they can, and then they'll lay little traps in question form for the suspect to tie up any loopholes that he may find. And I think that it's important that we do that with ourselves today, as we look and examine our own faith. Try to trip yourself up, you know. Make it impossible for you to cheat, pretty much. Because as I'm really thankful, Sister Joan, that we have a salvation that we can feel. However, Jeremiah tells us that there is no scoundrel more deceitful or treacherous than our own heart. So we can't judge ourselves by our own heart. We have to judge it by the Word of God. Examine yourselves to see if you be in the faith. See, thinking about the men in Noah's Ark that weren't saved, believing in all the correct doctrine means nothing if Christ isn't in us and we're in him. He says, Know not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates, or except you fail the test. So what is our test? There are a few characteristics that we can know that our faith is genuine, that a true Christian has, that's been indwelled by the Spirit of God. But I think they all stem from one crucial aspect, and that is a true, deep love for God. That's where it has to start, a love for God. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10, please. Book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 27. And he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." So this verse gives us both criteria for examination and instruction for proof, because we're not only told to examine ourselves, but later he says to prove yourselves. So do we love God with all of our heart, our soul, our strength, and our mind? If so, how do we prove it? He tells us, love your neighbor as yourself. And this kind of love, let me go here. In a lot of third world countries, when someone is taken prisoner, they aren't fed, especially if they're Christian. In a lot of third world countries where Christianity is illegal, if you're found with a Bible or even praying or saying anything about Christianity, professing Christianity, you will be locked up. If you're lucky, you might get the death penalty. But if you get locked up, then they won't feed you. The only way a prisoner gets fed in a third world country is if someone else comes to feed them. And if you're a Christian, this creates a problem. Because if you're a Christian and you go to feed another Christian in prison, they're going to recognize you as a Christian. And you'll be in there with them. And then whatever food gets brought to you, you guys have to split. So you even have less food. So it really takes a selfless love, a real selfless love, to go feed a Christian in prison in one of those countries. And this kind of selfless love is another mark by which we can gauge the validity of our faith. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. In verse 14, he says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." And over, skip a few, in chapter 4, verse 16, he says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And if we have God dwelling in us, and everything that God does eventually leads back to his glory, then naturally, we as Christians will also have a heartfelt devotion to God's glory. A devotion to God's glory. Turn with me to Jeremiah. I know I'm skipping a lot here. Jeremiah chapter 9. Verses 23 and 20, we'll start with 23. "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." That he understandeth and knoweth me. Glory in this. So how can we as humans understand and know personally the creator of the universe? Talk to him. He wants you to talk to him. He wants you to talk to him. We learn this in Ephesians 6, 8. Ephesians 6, 8. And I apologize, all my bookmarks fell out this morning. I'm sorry, 6, 18. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." So we are not only to pray in the Spirit continuously, but we are also to watch for answers with perseverance. And you say, "But I pray, and I pray, and I pray, and he doesn't talk back." What do you think I've been reading from this morning? This is God's word. He has spoken. If you want to know what he has to say, get your nose in this book. That's as politely as I can say it. We should have a hunger for his word. We should be hungry to know what this says and to understand it and apply it to our lives. Because that's another mark by which we can gauge the validity of our faith. hunger for God's word. 1 Peter chapter 2 talks about this. Verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, all hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. When a baby gets hungry for his mother's milk, he doesn't mind letting her know. He doesn't mind letting the whole building know. Because at that moment, that is the most important thing to him. He has nothing else on his mind except for that milk. We as new Christians or even people seeking the Lord, this is the milk. God's word is the milk that you can have to strengthen you and grow spiritually. Now, we're not looking for perfection when we examine ourselves to see if we be in the faith. Like I said, only Jesus achieved that. And only he willed this side of heaven. And there are other marks of genuine faith that I didn't even cover, such as genuine humility, obedience, repentance. That's a big one. That's a whole sermon on itself. But what I'm looking for when I examine myself this morning, when I think back to when I was saved, was my life transformed? Has there been a real transformation in my life? Over time, can I see a real change? In 2 Corinthians, back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's as simple as it gets. If you're in Christ, you've been made new, and you're no longer the same person inwardly. Are you a new creature? Or are you the same that you were when you, before you believed? Do you stand up to the test? Now, if you find that you've met all the qualifications for a good, upstanding Christian, then I applaud you. You're doing better than me. Perhaps there's one that you missed. Maybe it was one I didn't go over. If you think you've done perfectly, then you may be have a little pride in there. And you need to ask the Lord to humble your heart. If you find that, yeah, I have some of these marks, but I'm lacking in a few, I think that maybe when my soul is weighed in the balance, I may be found wanting. Well, then I invite you to pray this morning, seek the Lord, and ask him to restore you and give you his spirit so that you can be made whole. You may kind of check all these off, not that it's a checklist for Christianity, but it's a good start to examine ourselves to see if we really are in the faith, in Christ, and see if he's in us. And you may be here this morning and think, I barely got past the first one. I don't even know if I love God. I want to. I want to know him, but if I'm honest with myself, I don't know him, and he doesn't know me. Friend, you need to be saved. Only Jesus can do that, and he only will if you ask him to and genuinely seek him with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind, and all your strength. Brother Brad, I think that's about it. If you're here this morning and you think that when it comes time, you won't stand the test, I invite you to come down to these altars and ask the Lord to change your heart. Make him make you who he wants you to be. As we sing this song.
If you'll stand, page 83. 83.